Welcome to Room 106. I'm John Gagan from Planning Magazine. Every week, we descend into Room 106, the secret chamber where all new planning announcements and decisions are stored, and highlight the key things that you need to know. This week, we're going to talk about councils cutting housing targets and greenbelt release levels in their draft local plans, how new affordability data impacts local housing need levels, and the latest on Labour's Greenbelt policies. And as usual, we'll be rounding up the other key news from the past week to make sure you're up to speed on all the goings-on in the planning sector. Joining me in these discussions are three of my colleagues who are already inside Room 106. I think it's time to go in. Right, now I'm inside, I need to find my colleagues. Ah, here's our online editor, Toby Porter. Hello, Toby.
Hello.
Over there is our reporter, Alex King. Hello, Alex.
Hi, John.
And making his first visit to Room 106 is our data reporter, Julian Amani.
Hi, John.
Julian, how are you feeling, your first visit to Room 106?
Good. I'm looking forward to it.
Good to hear. Alex, I'll start with you. You're going to talk about a council that's cut its annual housing target and greenbelt release in the revised version of its development plan.
Yes, this is news that South Staffordshire District Council has published a revised version of its development plan that proposes 41% fewer homes and 73% less greenbelt release than a previous draft. In October 2021, the Conservative-run council agreed to carry out a public consultation on reviewing its existing local plan, which covers 2018 to 2038. The strategy included a housing target of 8,881 homes, comprising the council's own housing need for 4,131 homes and a 4,000 home contribution towards the wider Greater Birmingham housing market area, calculated based on a 2018 growth study. Nearly half of the 8,881 home target had been earmarked for delivery on four sites, three of which were entirely on Greenbelt and one partly on Greenbelt. A further 38 smaller housing sites were allocated, of which 14 were in the Greenbelt.
Okay, so what's happened to this emerging plan?
Firstly, the council paused the plan's preparation in January 2023 until it had received clarification on proposed changes to Greenbelt policy in the National Planning Policy Framework. The day before the 2022 publication plan consultation closed, the Department for Levelling Up, Homes and Communities had published a consultation on a revised NPPF that included making it clear that Greenbelt boundaries would not need to be reviewed if it was the only way of meeting housing needs. According to a report submitted to a special council meeting held on the 2nd of April, as the 2022 publication plan included significant Greenbelt release to meet the council's housing targets, the council decided to pause its emerging plan in January to await the revised NPPF. Fast forward 11 months to December 2023, the government then publishes the revised framework, which states that there is no requirement for Greenbelt boundaries to be reviewed or changed when plans are being prepared or updated. And now, South Staffordshire District Council has published a revised strategy.
Right, so what does the council propose in the new strategy?
So in that, it proposes a lower housing target of 4,726 homes between 2023 and 2041, a reduction of 46%. This equates to an annual housing target of 263 homes throughout the 18-year plan period, compared to 444 homes per year in the old emerging plan, a drop of 41%. The new housing target comprises the district's own housing requirement of 4,086 homes, plus a 640 contribution towards unmet housing needs in Greater Birmingham. In a statement, the council said in its new emerging plan it had proposed releasing 0.2% or 80 hectares of the district's greenbelt, down from 0.75% or 303 hectares in the previous emerging plan, which equates to a 73% decrease. The authority added it had contained greenbelt release to so-called Tier 1 villages, which are the most sustainable and have access to the rail network, and that this would ultimately help them meet their own housing need in the district. The emerging plan also cites the fact that the 2018 strategic growth study looking at housing need across Greater Birmingham was now more than 5 years old and therefore an unsound basis on which to plan development, hence the overall reduced housing target. The council is consulting on its new emerging plan until Friday the 31st of May.
So it looks like the There's been a slight drop in the council's own housing requirement, but there's been a huge drop in it. What it's saying it needs to contribute towards Greater Birmingham and the Black Country. So that's obviously got wider ramifications for the region. But this isn't the first time we've seen a council cut housing targets and Greenbelt release in their emerging local plans recently, is it?
No, there's actually been several examples over the last few months. So Hearts Midborough Council, for example, published a proposed development plan in September 2021 that set out an overall housing target of 12,160 homes over the next 15 years, with around 9,000 of those built on the Greenbelt. And this would have required the release of 8% of the authority's Greenbelt land. However, in January 2022, the authority's former Conservative leader announced that the authority intended to scrap its draft 12,000 home local plan just 4 months after its publication due to opposition from residents over the level of proposed Greenbelt release. In the version of the emerging plan, the authority proposed delivering 9,400 new homes instead, a fall of 22% from the previous draft local plan, and reduce the amount of Greenbelt release by 40%.
Okay, any others?
Yes, so Spelthorne Borough Council in Surrey cut its housing target in its emerging plan by 8% and almost all of its Greenbelt allocations. The council's draft local plan had been submitted for examination in November 2022. It initially paused the preparation of the emerging local plan in June last year after the Conservatives lost control of the local authority at the local elections. The authority is now run by a coalition of independent, Liberal Democrats, Labour and Green councillors. In March, the council agreed to a series of proposed main modifications to the plan in an effort to restart the examination. The examination draft of the plan had set out that 9,270 homes would be delivered across the plan period 2022 to 2037, or 618 a year, and proposed the release of 15 Greenbelt sites. But in the new emerging plan, the council proposed a housing target of 8,500 dwellings over the plan period, or 567 per year, while the council axed 13 of the 15 Greenbelt allocations from the previous version.
Okay, so they're all councils that have either paused or withdrawn previous versions of the plan, like so many councils did last year. Have any of them cited the revisions to national policy on Greenbelt in their changes?
Well, as mentioned, South Staffordshire District Council explicitly invoked the need for clarification on the National Planning Policy Framework, Greenbelt policy changes. In addition, Spelthorne Borough Council suggested that it had been, and I quote here, unduly constrained by the assumption that the standard method target must be met in full and that this could only be achieved through the release of some Greenbelts. So it seems from our perspective that they are invoking the NPPF there as well.
I know when the government updated the NPPF in December and published the draft revisions the previous year, some in the development sector predicted that councils might row back on their housing targets and the levels of Greenbelt release. So it will be interesting to see whether more councils follow suit and these fears are borne out. Okay, thanks very much for that, Alex. Julian, you've been looking at the latest housing affordability data from the government's statistics agency. Firstly, could you tell us what this data is and why it's important for planners?
The housing affordability dataset is released by the Office for National Statistics and it shows the ratio between average home prices and full-time earnings. The ONS ratios feed into the government's standard method for calculating local housing need, against which councils set their housing targets. For those councils without an up-to-date local plan, the standard method figure forms their annual housing requirement, thereby setting that crucial five-year housing land supply target and ultimately affecting their performance in the annual housing delivery test. Local planning authorities that fail to demonstrate an adequate housing land supply or fail the housing delivery test face the NPPS presumption in favour of sustainable development. So these new figures can have some important consequences.
Okay, so when the ONS publishes these figures, they release overall affordability ratio figure. What is the latest ratio figure and how does it compare to previous years?
Yeah, so full-time employees in England could expect to spend around 8.3 times their annual earnings to buy a home in 2023, marking a decrease from 8.5, but it's still higher than pre-2021 figures such as 7.86 in 2020 and 7.88 in 2019. According to the report, the ratios in 2022 and 2023 mark a return to the long-term trend after a sharp increase in 2021 when it reached 9.06. fueled by a spike in home sales following the government's decision to slash stamp duty rates to prop up the housing market during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay, so the latest figure for 2023, similar to 2022's figure, slightly lower, but a fairly significant drop from 2021, which itself was a big increase compared to the previous years. So affordability is still worse than it was in 2020 and 2019. Okay, so what our listeners want to know is how the data has affected housing need in England.
According to analysis from planning consultancy Turley, the collective level of housing need across England has dropped from 308,417 last year to 305,503 new homes per annum. This figure is 2% above the government's 300,000 homes per year target and is 30% higher than the delivery in 2022-2023, which was 234,397. Overall, 140 local authorities would see a reduction in their housing need, 81 would see an increase, and 75 authorities would see no change in their housing need.
Okay, so overall, more councils will see their housing need reduce rather than rise. And as you highlight, the most recent delivery figures were way below the total need across England. So which individual local authorities are seeing the biggest change in their housing need?
Of the local authorities in England that would see a reduction, Westmorland and Furness in Cumbria has had the biggest proportionate drop in its standard method outcome figure from 237 to 107, or approximately 54%. The London boroughs Tower Hamlets and Hammersmith and Fulham, Watford in Hertfordshire, Lichfield in Staffordshire, and Dover in Kent all saw their housing need drop by approximately 7%. In terms of the council whose local housing need has dropped the most by a number of homes, Tower Hamlets drops the list with a decrease of 392 homes, followed by the London Borough of Waltham Forest and Coventry City Council.
So which councils will see the biggest increases in their housing need?
The City of London Corporation saw the biggest proportionate increase in its standard method outcome figure from 136 to 150 dwellings per annum, or approximately 10%. Solihull in the West Midlands came second. Its housing need figure using the standard method increased by 8.6%, or from 797 to 866 dwellings per annum. Of the council whose local housing need has increased the most by number of homes, Birmingham City Council tops the list with an increase of 104 homes, followed by the London Borough of Newham and Solihull.
Great, thank you very much for that, Julian. That's all very important information for our listeners. Toby, finally turning to you, you've been looking at Labour's latest policies on developing Greenbelt. That's always a hot political topic at a local level. It looks like it could be a key battleground in the coming general election, with the two main parties disagreeing on the issue. Labour recently revealed some more details about their thinking on this. What did they say?
Well, Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer has pledged to build on poor quality Greenbelt land as part of the party's bid to create 1.5 million new homes during the next parliament, should it form the next government. Starmer pledged to release some land currently classified as Greenbelt to build homes. The party plans to create a new class of what they call Greybelt land, which it described as poor quality and ugly areas of the Greenbelt.
Okay, so we've heard Labour announce some of these things before about relaxing Greenbelt rules and describing some of it as Greybelt, where it's poorer quality, but we haven't had much details yet. What's the latest news on this?
Well, they talk about the golden rules for Greybelt development. The first stipulates that within the Greenbelt, any brownfield land would have to be prioritised for development ahead of this Greybelt land. Greybelt land would then be the second priority, the statement said, chosen ahead of what it calls nature-rich, environmentally valuable land in the Greenbelt. At present, it said, the system fails to differentiate between the two. The third and fourth rules state that where Greybelt land is released, the plans must include the provision of at least 50% affordable housing, while also boosting public services and local infrastructure. And finally, the Labour Party said that it ruled out building on genuine nature spots and said plans for development of Greybelt land would be required to include, in quote, improvements to existing green spaces and to meet high environmental standards.
Okay, so they've laid out five tests there. What did Keir Starmer say when he was announcing this?
Starmer said that the party I'm quoting, "must be honest, we cannot build the homes Britain needs without also releasing some land currently classed as Greenbelt." His deputy leader and the Shadow Levelling Up Secretary, Angela Rayner, said that much of the Greenbelt isn't green, rolling hills, but poor quality scrubland, mothballed on the outskirts of town. This Greybelt land should not be off limits while local people are kept off the housing ladder.
Okay, so what exactly is new about these proposals? Because, as we've discussed, Labour has announced some of this before.
Starmer did announce in his main party conference speech in October that a Labour government would allow low-quality Greenbelt to be built on, which he rebranded Greybelt, to be released for development. But this new announcement reveals the five golden rules that have to be met, so we do have some significant new details, though we are still awaiting further information and the announcement doesn't reveal how it will bring about these kinds of changes.
Okay, and what kind of reaction have we had?
So among the reactions is RTPI Chief Executive Victoria Hills, who said that we need experts, such as planners, to clearly define what we mean by greenbelt, greybelt and brownfield land, and to monitor its quality. Interestingly, conservative think tank Bright Blue has given its full support to Labour's plans to build on poor quality areas of the Greenbelt, despite official opposition from Tory headquarters. It said Labour was absolutely right to propose freeing up areas of the Greenbelt which are derelict or have been previously developed. But it's not all been supportive. The Telegraph this week featured a comment piece from Rosie Pearson, co-founder of the Community Planning Alliance, which campaigns nationally against inappropriate development. And she said, "We need Starmer to use his grey matter and rise above glib grey belt labels to look at who is in desperate need of housing and set out how he will meet the need. We must not sacrifice our green belt for investors or invent new names for parts of it."
Okay, I think as Labour's policy takes shape closer to the election, we can expect more opposition from groups and individuals keen to preserve the Greenbelt from development. But it's interesting that Labour thinks that being more supportive of Greenbelt development is worth the political pain. Yeah, Toby, thank you very much for that. Alex, turning back to you, you're going to bring us up to date on some of the other key news stories from the past week.
Yes. First up, Bristol City Council, which the government recently placed in special measures for slow planning decision-making, has revealed that it has just 2.5 enforcement staff to handle a workload of 444 cases a year, after diverting officers from the team to deal with its application backlog. Elsewhere, a senior councillor at Stockton-on-Tees Borough Council has accused officers at his authority of quote-unquote lobbying for developers by asking members during a private preliminary conversation before a planning committee meeting how a scheme could be made acceptable to them. Meanwhile, just five local planning authorities have a template in place to agree off-site biodiversity net gain schemes with landowners, leaving most authorities vulnerable to being bombarded by developers' bespoke agreements, according to a law firm's Freedom of Information survey of English councils. Next up, 10 areas, covered by 12 local planning authorities, have been selected by the Levelling Up and Housing Department to be part of the next phase of a so-called Pathfinder programme, which will see them given a share of £1 million in funding to produce exemplar design codes. In other news, the Housing Minister, Lee Rowley, has given the go-ahead to a mixed-use 425-home scheme on a brownfield site on the edge of Cambridge, after determining that the scheme's benefits, including a biodiversity net gain of 80%, outweighed harms to two nearby conservation areas. And finally, plans to build up to 53 wind turbines off the Norfolk coast have been approved by the Net Zero Secretary Claire Coutinho, against the advice of planning inspectors who had warned that they could be in breach of the habitats regulations and the UK's international obligations to sustain wetland sites.
Many thanks for that, Alex. Of course, more details on each of those stories can be found on planningresource.co.uk. Right, I think it's time to make my escape from Room 106. Well, that's another fortnight of news summarised. We'll be back with our deep dive edition next week when we explore a planning hot topic in a bit more depth. In the meantime, if you aren't a Room 106 subscriber already, don't forget to follow us wherever you normally get your podcasts. And for a daily bulletin of planning news, plus weekly analysis and specialist bulletins, subscribe at planningresource.co.uk. Our thanks to producer Inga Marsden from Haymarket Business Media, and thanks to you all for listening. See you next week.